Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Today we are in our series, Hey God, looking at a biblical perspective on answers to some of the big questions of faith. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
Now Chris, a lot of people might know you, a lot of people might not. But this is just a little segment called Get to Know Chris, and we're going to get to know. So what's your name? And what do you do for work? What do you do for work?
I am an iOS developer, so I write software. I write. If you have an iPhone app, you know you might know some of my stuff from Instagram and Facebook. I wish. That'd be really cool. One day. But yes, that's what I get to do for work.
Awesome. Second question. Have you ever volunteered at A Road to Christmas?
Yes, I did actually. I reckon it was one of the very, very first Road to Christmases. I was a shepherd, and I got to just stand by. There was like a playpen, like an animal, little animal farm thing for kids. So I didn't really have to do anything. There was someone who was there, and so I was there one night. It was a little bit late. Mum and Dad snuck me some hot chips, and I just sat at the back and ate chips, and that was it. It was great.
Volunteering at its finest.
It was awesome.
Okay. Before we get into it, favorite or most important technological device you own and why?
It would have to be my phone. It would just have to be, because without it, I wouldn't be able to do my job, which is probably a big thing. But
very fair.
I don't know. It's just amazing the things that you can do with it. And I don't know. It's just great. I love it.
Awesome. Well, give it up for Chris.
Thanks, Ethan.
That's great.
Thanks, mate. Cool. Well, good evening, everyone. It is a great honour and privilege to be able to bring the word to you this evening. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it all week. So before we jump into anything, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that we can come this evening, that we can gather to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that as we look into some of the questions that some of us might be asking, the things that we're saying, hey, God, what does this mean? How are we meant to do this? I pray that you will be able to shed some light through me and through the words that I've prepared. But we thank you for that, God. Pray that you speak to us. Amen. Well, in this series, we've been tackling some of the big questions, the questions that you would ask, hey, God, why does this? Or how does this happen? Last week, we had JD speak to us about how do we know God's will for our life and how do we follow that? And then this morning we heard, how do we love others when it's hard? So I'd encourage you, if you haven't yet, take a listen on the podcast. They're excellent. But tonight, we're looking at to tackle this specific question. How do we manage as people of faith in an increasingly technological world? Whoa. You can take a moment to just grapple with the question. I mean, there is no doubt that our world is becoming increasingly technological, and I think it's fantastic. I love it. I love all things tech. Things are being rapidly transformed, rapidly iterated on, and there's always something new right around the corner, which I just find incredibly exciting. Health is being transformed. I mean, one of the Apple Design Awards, Apple hosts these big award things for some of their apps, and one of the big design awards this year was a portable ultrasound machine, which you can plug into your phone and you can take it out into rural areas. So it's transforming parts of health, that people can take it out, that they can be able to provide ultrasound for people who might not be able to get to a hospital or is just too far away, which is fantastic. We have cars that drive themselves. We've got AI and machine learning doing all sorts of amazing things. And we have virtual assistants. But one of my all-time favorite pieces of technology is the smart home. Does anyone have some smart home gear? No? Oh, a couple of us. Excellent. Well, you can get all sorts of things. Oh, here we go. You guys are going to be like, man, I need to go and get some of this stuff. You can get, electronic door locks, cameras, lights, all sorts of things. I've started collecting lights. Like, it's a little bit of a strange thing for a 25-year-old to be like, hey, Christmas, get me some lights. That's all I want. But these particular lights, you know, I can go to bed. I can be relaxing. I could have had all the lights on. I get into the comfort of my bed and I just turn the lights off from my phone. Phenomenal. It's amazing. It's life-changing. Trust me. Trust me. It's fantastic. And I particularly like to do it when I'm out and Caitlin's at home and I can just turn the lights off and on just for a little bit of fun while she's there. See, you can set the color of these lights. You can set the brightness. They come with all sorts of settings. You can, you know, you can do settings for reading where it's nice and white. You can do concentration. It's nice and blue. Or, you know, one of my personal favorites is the mood setting. It's been, you know, for when you need lights for, you know, when you're watching a movie or something like that. Nothing too serious. Now, I've seen firsthand the impact that technology can have. In my previous job, I was a biomedical engineer at a place called the Molecular Imaging and Therapy Research Unit at the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, or just the glass building next to the Royal Adelaide on North Terrace. So despite how awesome that building looks, you know, covered in glass, it's fantastic. We didn't really get to appreciate any of it as we were down in the basement. We were down on the level of the trains and it was just all artificial light. But the reason for this was because we had something called a cyclotron. Does anyone know what a cyclotron is? Mark Elford, excellent. A cyclotron is basically a particle accelerator. We can use it to accelerate protons to be able to make radioactive material. As a part of my job there, we would use this incredible piece of technology to be able to make radioactive drugs for people to be able to do cancer imaging. We developed drugs for treating kids with brain cancer to go through the blood-brain barrier. But it was amazing to see this piece of technology revolutionise healthcare across the state. You see, before we didn't have one of these, you couldn't really get as much radioactive material for health and for imaging. And so we'd have to import it, but a lot of people would miss out. But you see, having something here, this amazing piece of tech, has helped to transform the healthcare in South Australia. But have you ever felt that your technology is watching you? Have you ever felt like you can't escape it? You know, that it seems to know more about you than you know about yourself. Have you ever thought about something? Just a little glimpse of something. You maybe thought about that new guitar, that new bit of clothing that you might want, and the next thing you know, it's everywhere. You see it everywhere. It's on your phone. It's in your feed. And you just can't explain it. I mean, you just simply thought about it, right? We've often had this discussion as part of our family where some of us are adamant that our phones are listening to us. Now, I almost wish that it was that simple, because the truth behind it is perhaps a little more scary. You see, your phone isn't listening to you to the degree that you think it might be. It's not filing away everything you say and figuring out what to show you. It's able to figure out exactly what to show you based on very few data points. It knows what you like. It knows what you're looking at. It knows who your friends are and what they're looking at and what they're talking about. It knows where you've been. And from those very few data points, it can accurately predict what you'll do next. But not only does it know what you want to see next, but it knows about your personality. It knows about your characteristics. It knows how easily swayed you are. You see, now none of this by itself is a bad thing. But we've seen how good technology with bad intentions can have the opposite impact. We've seen this kind of data sway elections to be used for digital fraud. We've seen technology used for war, for influence, and to gain power. You see, I think it's safe to say that technology in itself isn't inherently bad, but its intention is based on those using it. I think overall, though, technology is a pretty incredible thing. And it's something that's going to continue to evolve and change. And so it is actually important to ask ourselves this question. How do we manage as people of faith in an increasingly technological world? And I think there are a few main things that we need to consider. You see, technology is fast. Life moves at a frantic pace. We want Uber Eats now. We get frustrated when our internet gets slow. I think for me, I find this particularly frustrating. At work, we have internet speeds of around 300 megabytes a second up to 1 gig a second. It's pretty quick. And then I come home and it's like 3 to 6 megabytes, maybe 10. I think last night I got home and it was 0.2 megabytes a second. It was slow. And that can get pretty frustrating. You see, the world is fast-paced. But closer to home, with the technology that we actually use every day, everything is instant. And everything we see is the end result. We see things in their completed state or in a state that we control. And we rarely hear or see anything about the journey, particularly surrounding the socials. You see, we don't often see the struggle, see the mess that can come with working towards something. We see where everyone is, what they're up to, and what they want to be, and we want those things, and we want it now. It's hard to commit to a journey when everything around us is so instant. We want things in life to be instant because everything else moves so fast. Technology keeps pushing us to be faster and faster. You see, the problem with that is that we'll often bring this attitude over when we think about discipleship and when we think about Jesus. We want our prayers answered instantly. We want to see God move instantly. And we want an intimate relationship with Jesus instantly. We want God to see us now, where we are comfortable. We don't want to have to work too hard to get there. We want to be in places where our friends are, where others are, and we want that now. And we forget the Ten Commandments that tell us not to covet what others have. You know, we forget about the journey. We forget about the grit, the mess, and the beauty of what the journey of following Jesus actually is. No one wants to share the sacrifice, the small but seemingly insignificant decisions that move us forward in our journey with Christ and draw us closer in relationship with Him. You see, when technology pushes us to live at such breakneck pace, we think that things that aren't instant aren't worth our energy. And when things get hard while following Jesus, when we aren't seeing things happen the way that we want, we can push God to the side. I find this kind of often, even when I'm reading the Bible. And things can seem to happen pretty quick. You know, you go from one chapter and you go to the next and suddenly things have changed. Things have happened very quickly. But you see, Moses herded sheep for 40 years in the desert before the burning bush. David waited for 15 years between the time when he was anointed to be king to when he was actually king. And Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. You see, when we forget about the journey, we miss out on what God is preparing us for. David would not have been as great a king had he not been transformed by God in those 15 years from a shepherd to a man worthy to be king. Tonight, I want to encourage you that the journey is important. It's not easy, but it's beautiful and it's worth it. Technology has also enabled us to be in constantly connected to something. So yeah, as I mentioned before, I work in the city making iPhone apps. And so each morning I get to, you know, walk to the train, catch a train into work, catch it back. And while I don't do this particular thing very often, I sometimes like to people watch on the train. It's very, very fascinating. Very fascinating. I've started to notice, you know, the regulars who catch my train in the morning. So if you're ever around at like the 722 Seaford train, I'll be there up in one of the front carriages. But yeah, I've noticed there's this old man who comes along with his glasses and his leather jacket, and he's got one of those old school briefcases, you know, with the clasps on it. It's very, very cool. There's this girl who's always headphones on, coffee ready. She's like, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm just getting on the train. I'm just sitting here. I'm going to listen to my music. There's a couple of friends who catch it together. But what else I've noticed is that no one really talks on the train. Everyone either has their phone out or they're reading a book. Everyone has their particular routine and everyone is always doing something. See, when I'm not people watching, which albeit may be slightly creepy, my routine on the train will usually consist of me perhaps sitting down, I'll get the Bible app out, I'll read a chapter or two, and then I'll flick over to Instagram, maybe browse Twitter for a little bit, and then I'll be in the city, and it's great. The office I work on is on Rundle Street above Kamandu and AS Colour. So I got a little bit of a walk from the train station. So I'll give Caitlin a call while I walk there. And then there's a couple of traffic lights along the way. So if Caitlin's a bit, you know, too busy to talk to me in the morning, I'll have my phone out when I stop at the traffic lights and I'll quickly scroll through Twitter, maybe check Slack, see if the work coffee gang has gone out already. And then when I'm at work, the projects that I work on, they're rather large projects. They take 5 or 10 minutes to compile on the computer for us to test the things that we've done. And so I'll get my phone out and I'll browse Reddit. I'll check Instagram. I'll kill some time, which is pretty normal at work. We're all basically on our phones all the time, so no one really knows if you're testing something or you're just scrolling through. But you see, what is scary is yesterday I checked out my screen time. Has anyone else checked out their screen time recently? If you've got your phone, feel free to get it out while I talk about this next bit. Check out what your screen time is. Because last week, my daily average was 5 hours and 14 minutes. With Monday and Friday being close to 7 hours each of screen time. And you know what? That was an 8% decrease from the week before. So while, yes, I may use my phone for work, I'm not using it that much. I'm not using it that much. You see, in my daily routine, every moment waiting is a moment I feel that I need to do something. A moment I feel that I need to be connected, to keep on top of what is happening. And from what I've observed on the train and on my walk to work, even at family events or catching up with friends for coffee, is that all of us seem to have this constant need to know what is going on, to find a way to kill time, to be constantly stimulated by something. And what we've lost is the natural time during the day where we can take time to reflect and actually think. You see, I read my Bible on the train, and then when I'm done, I flick straight over to Twitter or Instagram or whatever. I'm not taking the time to stop and to think about what I've read. I'm not giving God the time he deserves. And when we constantly fill our spare moments with our phones, we stop reflecting. We stop thinking about what we want in life, our goals. We stop looking at what's happening around us, and we stop seeing what God is wanting us to do and where he's taking us. You see, what happens is we stop the journey. We put it on hold. You can't keep moving forward in your journey with God if you don't ever think about it. We've lost the ability to be okay with doing nothing in the moments where we don't need to do anything. And we can't be waiting on God to do something in our lives when we aren't actually actively waiting, reflecting, praying. I'm not saying that you don't need to be, you know, spending every single moment doing this. But if your screen time is anything like mine, we do have a bit of room for improvement. When we combine these two things together, when we're wanting things to be instant and moving so incredibly fast and not taking the time to stop and reflect and see what God is doing, we miss out. You see, Jeremiah 2:25 in the Message translation says this: slow down, take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? But you say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. I can't quit. Now, for a little bit of clarification, the alien gods in this verse are actually, they're talking about Baal sex gods. But I think we can easily substitute in technology. You see, what we need to rediscover is having the tempo of a God-breathed life, to slow things down. We need to reflect on what God is doing in our lives now and live in the present rather than living for the future. To live by faith that God has a plan for us and our future, to live by faith and not by sight. Technology has such an incredible reach. We record the sermons here at Seeds and we upload them to our podcast for anyone to listen to. We can listen to sermons from preachers all over the world, and we can be encouraged. We can read the Bible wherever we are. We can be encouraged wherever we are. And we have the opportunity to reach a wide audience. Now, earlier this year, I was working on a project with some friends in the States, and one of whom was like Tumblr's first creative director if anyone remembers what Tumblr actually is. When I was in my early teens, everyone had a Tumblr, this like blogging kind of site. And you know, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to run a Christian Tumblr page where I post cool Christian-related things and reach people and inspire them to find out more about God. I feel like I had good intentions. And so what I did was I would head over to the Hillsong United Tumblr page and I'd just repost everything that they'd posted. That was it. That was what I thought. And I was like, man, I just dust my hands off. Good work, Chris. You've done a good job. Now, I don't think anyone actually saw these reposts. I certainly know they didn't exactly blow up. But what I'd been presented with was the technology to reach people, but I didn't exactly do much with it. With the technology we have today, we have so many opportunities to reach people beyond our sphere of influence, to be able to evangelize to a broader audience. But what I hate to break to you is that the majority of us actually lack the creativity, the transparency, and the drive to actually fully utilize the tools at hand. I certainly didn't when I was reposting Hillsong United images. And despite how great the Bible app is at putting a Bible verse on a nice picture, that isn't exactly creative either. You see, what we do is we post these things and feel like our evangelical work is done and value that over actual human connection and sharing our faith personally. To be honest, me reposting those pictures on Tumblr is a little bit lazy and it's a bit of a cop-out to think that I could do that in place of actually sharing my faith. And I feel like that can probably apply to a lot of us. This doesn't mean that if you like posting Bible verses, you should stop doing it. But sharing our journey with people, sharing what God has done in our lives, how he's provided for us, supported us, and his great love, and then displaying that in friendship with others is always going to be more powerful and impacting than posting a Bible verse out into the ether and hoping that it sticks. You see, we have a personal God, one that wants relationship with you, one that died for you. And so when we have that personal relationship, a personal relational God, there's no better way to reflect that with others than through relationships with them. There's no doubting that technology has and will continue to change the world. We live at a time where things are constantly changing and we have technology that affects us in our daily lives. Technology in itself is not inherently good or bad, but it's dependent on those who use it. And it's up to us to moderate how technology affects us in our everyday life and how it impacts our faith. You see, God is wanting to take us on a journey with him, to know him and love him more and more. And to do that, we need to spend time in relationship with him, reading the Bible, praying, and reflecting on who God is and his plan for us. We can't let ourselves bring an attitude, the same attitude we have with technology, into our relationship with God for it to sap our energy and our drive for the journey. The journey can take some time, as it has for the great characters of the Bible, but that is often the most important part, for through the journey we build character and God shapes us to tackle the things to come. And through sharing our journey and relationship with others, we can make a meaningful impact on those around us. So take some time to slow down, to reflect, to enjoy the journey, maybe reduce that screen time, and to share our faith through relationship with others. Let's pray. God, we live in an incredible world, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the technology that we have, for the things that it allows us to do, and for the good that it has been able to do in this world. But God, we pray for the way that that affects us. We pray that you speak to us, that we will know how to manage that better. But God, we pray that we'll be able to utilize that to its full potential for our relationship with you. But God, let us not forget to reflect, to slow down, to have the journey with you, for you to shape us and mold us, God. But we thank you, Lord, and we love you.